We make the wrong people famous. Every civilization reveals what it worships by the kinds of people it makes famous. Fame is never accidental. Glory follows a culture's highest values. Our readings from sacred scripture focus on glory. St. Peter writes about the glory of God and glorifying God by being insulted or suffering for the name of Christ. Jesus often in the Gospel of John makes reference to the glory of God, that he will be glorified and he will reveal the glory of God to the world. So the question becomes, what is glory? God often has a different answer than human beings. The word glory begins with the human desire to be seen, honored, and remembered. In the Greek world, glory was often tied to fame. The word in Greek doxa originally meant an opinion or a reputation. To have glory was to be held in high esteem by others. We hear from the philosopher Socrates, fame is the perfume of heroic deeds. And so in the ancient Greek world, Greece made famous its warriors, philosophers, poets, and athletes. A man sought immortality through heroic deeds. We can think back to the Iliad, where Achilles, the great warrior, desires glory so much that he chooses a shorter life with eternal fame over a long, ordinary existence. The Greek ideal was excellence, achievement, and honor remembered by future generations. If we fast forward just a bit into the Roman world, glory was similar. Gloria, from the Latin, meant honor, renown, and prestige. Rome glorified, for example, their emperors, the conquerors, statesmen, and builders of empire. Triumphal marches filled the streets for victorious generals. Roman glory was tied to power, order, civic greatness, and legacy. To have your name carved in stone was a kind of immortality. It would always be there for others to see. But those values are contrasted by our values that we derive from sacred scripture. The Hebrew word most often translated as glory in sacred scripture is kabod, which literally carries the sense of weight or heaviness. Glory is not merely applause in sacred scripture, it's the weight of someone's being, the majesty and reality of who they are. God's glory is made visible, his holiness, his presence pressing upon the world. That is why the glory of God appears, as we have in the Old Testament, as cloud, you could think of, or fire, light, thunder, and radiance. His glory fills the temple, for example. His presence is made known to the people. His glory leads Israel. His glory is not reputation, it's presence. And that's where we start to understand maybe that difficult reading today from the Gospel of John. The glory that Jesus is talking about is God's presence pressing upon the world. What is that? The Holy Spirit, given at Pentecost to the church, and given to every soul that is baptized and that receives the sacraments in the Catholic faith. Christianity would transform the word glory even more. In Christ, glory is revealed not only in light, power, and majesty, but ultimately in the moment of the crucifixion. If you read John's Gospel, Jesus is talking about his hour to come, his hour of glory. It's not about his resurrection. It's about the crucifixion. The great surprise of the gospel is that the glory of God shines most brightly through the cross, through suffering. Jesus says in John's gospel, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." He says this approaching his passion. Human glory tries to always climb upwards, but Christian glory descends as presence from on high. Human glory says, "Look what I've achieved," and divine glory says, "Look how much I have loved." Very different. Medieval Christianity changed the idea dramatically of glory. The church made famous not emperors, but saints. Not merely the strong, but rather those that were holy. For example, a poor friar like St. Francis of Assisi became more celebrated than kings in his own age because sanctity became the measure of greatness, making the right people famous. Martyrs, virgins, monks, missionaries, and mystics were remembered because they reflected not themselves, but the glory of God. The heroes of Christendom were often those who renounced worldly glory and went after the glory of God given to him alone. Even then, every age has tensions. We can look into the Renaissance. They're celebrated artists and geniuses in terms of architecture and so forth. The Enlightenment admired scientists, inventors, and political revolutionaries. The Industrial Age, not too long ago, elevated magnates, explorers, and nation builders. And we have to ask ourselves, my brothers and sisters, who do we make famous in modern America? Probably the wrong people. Often when we look to Hollywood and different things to give us our values, it is vanity of all vanities, as we might hear. We basically glorify people in our own culture that really don't have much to say about the glory of God, but rather a reflection of themselves. A lot of their values are what we export elsewhere. Most other countries know America for what? Hollywood, our movies, and so forth. And what has been coming out of there more recently? Not good stories. If you want to look into something that's very interesting, fairy tales were always written in a way that they would teach a moral imperative to children, to help them to understand good versus evil. Look at all of our modern retelling of fairy tales. They miss absolutely the point of the original writings that were written in a Christian ethos. Most of those Christian fairy tales now have been co-opted to make you feel bad for the villain. Because the villain had a tough life before then they decided to kill people? And we think that we should have sympathy for evil. That's a dangerous value to teach a culture. Rather, we should at least go back to the Greek times where heroic deeds were at least honored. Something that was difficult. I could at least have some respect for that. If someone went out on a big, huge journey to then go find a foreign place that they could potentially die and they come back from that, there should be some natural sense of reverence for that person. They did something difficult. Often today, we don't have those images. We rather rip down many people that have heroic deeds and we build up people for all the other wrong reasons. That's who we make famous in our culture. Today, fame often comes not from wisdom or holiness, sacrifice, or even accomplishment, but from visibility itself. In many cases, the modern celebrity is famous simply for being seen, being a spectacle. Social media certainly intensifies this. Ancient glory required years of conquest, poetry, philosophy, or even sanctity. And now a viral moment creates instant notoriety and makes people famous. But, my brothers and sisters, modern America does not lack noble heroes. We still have people that sacrifice part of themselves for others. We could think of, in our different industries, of firefighters, police officers, soldiers, good parents, missionaries of the church, doctors, teachers, and hopefully, in our own age, saints. Think about how much money we dump into entertainment industry. My dad would always say that. You might have somebody that runs into a burning building and they're making $50,000 a year, and you have other people that pass a ball around a court and they make $50 million in a check. Some of our values of our society maybe are not in the right prioritization. The Christian critique of every age is similar, my brothers and sisters. Tell me who your heroes are, and I will tell you what your culture worships. Tell me who your heroes are, and I will tell you what your culture worships. For the word culture comes from the word cult. Cult meaning a religious worship of, in a different way. And so we have to be very clear on what our culture is. Christianity constantly redirects glory away from self-exaltation and towards self-gift. Christ becomes the great contradiction to every civilization that isn't ordered to him. For example, he enters Jerusalem not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He conquers not by killing enemies, but by dying for them. The ancient world glorified Julius Caesar. The church glorified martyrs. Modern culture glorifies celebrities. Christianity glorifies saints. And the difference matters because people become what they admire. For the Christian, glory is no longer about making a name for oneself. It's about allowing God's name to shine through the individual. The saints are glorious not because they drew attention to themselves, but because they became transparent to God. They vanished into the background and just allowed God to fully work through them. In the end, Christian glory is not fame. It is holiness made visible. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us strive to make the right people famous in our own age, not through the glory of man, but through the glory of God.